and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. It's a proper intro today. I put my foot down. I stomped in my little high heels.
Is it down in something smelly?
No, because you is not here. You is on the other end of the phone lines, blood in it.
Bro.
Because I is down with the kids and stuffs.
And who are you today?
I does not know.
Because I is Billy Bob today.
Oh, that's right. You is Billy Bob. I'd forgotten that you was going to be Billy Bob. I will be Terry.
Okay.
From Dagenham.
All right, Terry.
All right, Billy Bob.
Yeah, I'm bored of that now.
Yeah, so am I. So we have questions from listeners. Or people on Twitter who haven't got anything better to do. One or the other.
Have you been doing that from your ghost Twitter account then?
Yes. I asked people to suggest things that we could pontificate about. And one of them said, and this was Bear, asked us, how do the two grumpy old men find the hobby is now compared to when they started?
Well, right. We need to get some grumpy old men to...
I was going to say, who are the old men? Do you think he's talking about us?
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
Is that because you've forgotten?
Yeah. Well, where are we? What are we doing?
I don't know. Why are you here?
Podcasting from the toilet is not a good thing.
What is this internet thing?
It's like magic and things, isn't it?
It is. It is. In the old days, you used to have to use the telling bone.
That's nice. It's a dog. If you're from Dagenham, it's called a dog, isn't it?
I suppose it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I suppose it is. The telling bone was from Cat Weasel, 1970s TV show. There you go. You being a cat weasel.
I am being a cat weasel. I'm just going to go and get my toad. What was it?
To be fair, his dress sense was better than yours.
True, yeah. And he smelt better.
No one has a clue. You realise that no one listening to this has a clue what we are talking about.
I wonder if it's available on YouTube, Cat Weasel.
Oh, it must be. At least the titles. But anyway, no, that's not what we're here to talk about.
I was going to say, I found a frog the other day.
Oh, did you? In your throat?
No, not in my throat, no. It was. We have recycling bins at the front of the... house.
I can't believe we're going to tell this story. Go on then.
And they collect the stuff every Monday, and then they sort of just dump the boxes in the house, in the front garden. And as I put the lids back on and moved the boxes, there was a big old frog hiding behind there.
And did you jump?
It had a bandana on and it was getting ready to mug me because it's an East End frog, obviously.
It was Rango. Oh no, it was a lizard. Are we going to talk about what Bear asked us to talk about?
I think that would probably be a good thing to do, yeah.
Okay. This is why these shows are so long. Because we just witter aimlessly.
1970, Cat Weasel, the first date.
That was the day I was born. Well, it wouldn't be the year I was born. Might not have been the day. It wasn't all about me then.
It wasn't, no. How has the hobby is...
How has the hobby compared with when you were but a youngster? Oh, we could do some Rizzle Kicks.
It's brilliant. There you go. Right. I've been Conrad.
I've been Mike. Have I?
Oh, sorry. You need to give an opinion as well.
No, it's rubbish. There. We've got polarising opinions.
Oh, no.
No, it's ace. I mean, it's awesome.
There is so much out there. I mean, there was stuff out there before, but for me, accessibility was an issue until I found A, the library, and B, wargaming magazines, because there was no internet.
Right. So how far back in time are we going?
When I suppose trying to get into the hobby for the first time, really, and then actually getting to a stage where you're playing and doing hobby stuff and games and things like that.
Yeah.
Because until you've actually got a mate or two or a group of people to play with, you're Billy No Mates, and the hobby is really just about satisfying your own sort of love and curiosity in whatever shape or form of the hobby that you enjoy. For me, it was toy soldiers and building Airfix kits or Revell kits at the time.
So we're talking mid-70s?
Yes, yeah, mid-70s for me. So you weren't born then, were you? Or you just been...
I was thinking about this the other week, and I realised that I actually started hobbying earlier than I thought I had started hobbying. I'd always put down my sort of hobby start date as when I first played Fantasy Battle 2nd Edition, because that was the first version I played, and played Dungeons & Dragons. But it occurred to me that I actually did hobby before that, because my next door neighbour, who was a guy called Ian, had Car Wars.
Oh, what, the Steve Jackson Car Wars?
The Steve Jackson Car Wars.
Not the GW Car Wars. Oh, that was no, Battle Cars.
That was Battle Cars. Yeah. And we played on Sundays on their dining room table in his house. We would play Car Wars on, you know, the printed out road layouts with little card counters as your motorbikes and things.
Did you leave skid marks?
No, because I was well behaved. And so it occurred to me that this was probably actually the first thing that you would recognise as a hobby thing that I did. And I'd played with, like you, I'd played with Airfix soldiers and things beforehand, and had built forts and made rule systems for, you know, this guy's got a machine gun, so I'll roll 3 dice, and if I get a 4 up or more, then they die.
See, you use dice and things. I use rubber bands.
See, we didn't have enough space to do rubber bands. Did occasionally make catapults out of Lego. So it occurred to me, and I was thinking about that we'd played, and I don't know where he got it from, because in those days, the Steve Jackson games were in a tiny little they would come in a tiny little plastic case.
Yeah, about the size of a CD case, but slightly larger width.
Longer than a CD case. Not as big as a DVD, Blu-ray case is now, but that sort of thing. And the entire game was in there, you know, a printed sheet of instructions with tiny, tiny print, and maybe a folded paper map, and then a load of card, colour-printed chits that you were using for your models. And the motorbike ones were like a centimetre square, and the trucks were a centimetre by maybe 5 centimetres long. And then you had a plan of where all the weapons were, and you had rocket, you know, recoilless rifles and stuff, and they cost a certain amount of money, and you tricked all that. But then there was a magazine published, and I can't remember what the magazine public was called, that was, it had fake adverts in the, you know,
oh yeah,
in it and stuff, to get your recoilless rifle from Rogers Hardware and stuff, the best recoilless rifles in, you know, Texas or something like that. And I don't know where he got those from, because there was a game store in Oxford, but it was at the far end of town that you didn't go to. I didn't start going there until I was maybe 15, 16, because it was the completely opposite end from where the shopping centres were. And it was called Gameskeeper. And I don't know if it's still there, actually. I have dice from it, though, that I ordered 20 green D6s that he got me in, you know, like 3 weeks later. And it was a real old-style hobby store. It was run by an American guy. And his wife was in there sometimes as well. See, now I'm reminiscing. So maybe he got it from there, but that was like the first thing I did. And then I did, you know, the group at school and stuff. And then a games workshop opened in our town. And, you know, I'm 18, 19 now and hanging out there. And
the magazine was probably Auto Duel Quarterly.
Oh, that's it. That is it. Black Pete or something was the name of the biker guy.
That's right, yep. In
the thing. And I always used to get massacred because I couldn't work out how to make the bikes work against RVs and trucks. Because it was a classic case of many with light weaponry versus a few with lots of armor and stuff.
I invested in some, I think they were Z gauge or N gauge cars from Model Railway.
Ah, nice. Did you put little turrets on them?
No, I did. I didn't do. I wasn't doing a lot of modelling then, in terms of conversions and things like that.
Yeah.
But I've still got my Car Wars somewhere.
Have you?
Yeah, I'm sure I have.
I have Games Workshop's version.
Battle Cars.
No. The one that came out of that Dark Future.
Yeah, Dark Future. Now there's a game.
I could do a whole episode just on Dark Future. Mainly around the fiction that they wrote about it.
Dark Future was an absolutely brilliant game.
It is a brilliant game. The models were brilliant because they're semi-plastic with metal add-ons, and you could customize your interceptors and your bad guys' cars to keep going. I mean, it's basically Mad Max, but there's a whole amazing background written to it, and they published. It was just when Black Library were starting to publish novels. And they published this whole series of novels, which are absolutely outstanding. And they got really good authors to write them. Back in the early days, they had a guy called Jack Yeovil writing for them. But Jack Yeovil was just a pseudonym of Kim Newman.
Okay.
So Kim Newman wrote a load of the really early Dark Future novels. And there's this whole storyline of these demons coming down and possessing things, and this elder who is possessed, and he of the church, and he founds this new church and this whole religion. And...
I didn't know that. I've not read any of the fiction.
When I next see you, I'll lend you the books.
Oh.
Because they are brilliant. There's a character called Crocodile. She was introduced in a short story, and then she became a major player in the sequence. And because of the way that history works, so there's a lot of pastiche of American history. Have you ever read? See, we're going to Kim Newman. Have you ever read Kim Newman's Anno Dracula?
No.
Okay, so Kim Newman wrote this book called Anno Dracula, which is basically, it's the story of Dracula as written by Bram Stoker up to the point where they kill him. And it's what happens if they hadn't killed him? And how the world would have been different.
Right, okay.
So Bram Stoker is effectively the prince consort. Sorry, Bram Stoker. Vlad Tepes, or Dracula, is effectively the consort of Queen Victoria.
Oh.
So he married. So it's set. It's 1900. It's Queen Victoria's on the throne, but she has been turned into a vamp, but is under the thrall of. Vlad Tepes, who effectively rules the thing. The Carpathians are all round London and stuff. But it pulls on lots of tropes. So there's a whole mystery with Jack the Ripper in the story.
Sounds a great book.
Oh, it's brilliant. The Anno Dracula series, there are three. The second one... But it's pulling loads of stuff in from loads of fiction that were written in that period of time. So... there's a lot of stuff about the Diogenes Club. Diogenes, isn't it? That's how you pronounce it. Which Mycroft Holmes is like the leader of.
Oh, yeah.
But there's characters from that. So, various characters from other literary series that are set in that time frame turn up in this. And do you remember... also from Black Library, there's a series of books about a vampire called Guinevere.
Vaguely remember it, yep.
Those books are also written by Jack Yeovil, i.e. Kim Newman.
Oh, okay. Well,
so there's an alternate version of Genevieve in the Anno Dracula novels. There's three of them. There's one that's set at the turn of the century. There's one that's set in World War One, where they're fighting against Baron von Richthofen. But he's a vampire, and instead of actually flying in a triplane, he transforms into a giant red plane.
Right.
And then there's one that's set in the 50s, which is very much a pastiche of early James Bond novels.
Yep, yep.
Absolutely brilliant series of books.
I've just had gone onto the Dark Future Wikipedia site, and I do recognise Route 666, and I believe I've got that and read that, but I can't remember much about it.
Yeah. If you can get hold of them, I mean, even if you've got no interest whatsoever, they're a really good series of books. Really enjoy them.
So going back to...
what are we talking about?
Is it better now than
it was before? So look, you've just heard my enthusiasm for stuff that is 20 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, I have more enthusiasm now for the stuff that I'm doing now and the games that I'm playing now than I do for those. Okay? I love Dark Future. I love the game, etc. I don't know if I would play it now because the mechanics of it now are probably too clunky. I wish that there was a new version. They keep saying that there's going to be a new version of Car Wars.
It was clunky then, because it was so detailed, basically, in terms of like turns and things like that and skids, and then there's the whole weaponry stuff and progression. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, I think there is more stuff now, and everything has become a lot... rules have become a lot slicker.
Which doesn't necessarily mean better.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Production qualities of
production quality is huge. And the ability for anyone to have to use... I mean, this is... We're going to talk about this another time, I think. But the ability for anyone to try and get their project off the ground via Kickstarter...
Yep, is a great thing.
An equivalent... Is an awesome thing. I mean, there's so many great... games that are being produced now that I don't know whether they would have been produced or whether you'd have even heard of them. I mean, the other massive thing is the change in communication.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, all through the 80s, I played with the same 6-7 people. Through the early 90s, I played with the same 2-3 people. You know, you had your little gaming group.
And now you can play virtually, you know, if you use things like Vassal with people... the other side of the world. We've been to cons.
Yeah, but you also get... But part of going to cons is, I mean, A, they're there, I suppose. But B, I mean, that's the other thing, is we have...
Money to
we
do
have
that.
We have the money to do that sort of thing. So and the understanding partners to let us do that.
So the big change for me, I believe, from then and now... the other thing is time. We had more time when we were younger, obviously, because of less commitments. We didn't have as much money, but we had more time. But now we've got more money, more stuff, and less time.
I think that's fair. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that's the biggest though. I mean, I think.
Well, it is when you've got that choice there. You know, you're building Izamu at the moment. I'm trying to paint some epic stuff. I'm very conscious of the fact that I've got goals that I want to try and achieve by the end of the year, and I do actually want to try and achieve them. You know?
Yeah. No, I suppose that's fair. I mean, I guess the thing is that. You go, I mean, certainly in my life, I went through a period when I didn't have the time. And I'm sort of, you know, getting to the point now that I do have the time. I'm becoming the stereotypical, sad, lonely father who in the evening goes off to the study and...
Have you got any friends?
No, I only just paint metal sad things because I'm lonely. And as a loser. But apart from that, I just tend to think that I now have more time than I did maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, no, I would say...
Because 10 years ago, you know, consumed with my career and young children take a lot of time and... you know, you come home from work and it's your turn to deal, you know, to deal with the children. And deal with the children sounds harsh, but any parent out there will know what I mean. You know, your spouse has been dealing with them all day and it's
your
fair turn.
Yeah.
But now I think that, you know, the kids don't want anything to do with me other than to give them money when they say, Dad, I need money.
And stuff.
Yeah, stuff. Or give me a lift to the next town, you old man, you.
Yeah.
And then wait for me while I do my important stuff of chatting with my buddies.
Which you don't understand about.
No, because you were old.
And things are different now.
You know.
And you don't understand still.
Yeah. Bitter much. So, you know, I've got more time because I don't have to do stuff with the kids, and I certainly have more free weekends to do things, but it's where you allocate the hobby time, because you're right, there is so much more to do. In my early 20s, there wasn't an organized play scene for any of the games I was playing.
Yeah, exactly right.
So it was, you know, you'd hang out with your mates. But that's what you would do. You would hang out with your mates and you might get a game in. Now, you know, there's gaming weekends up the wazoo, or shows or any sorts of hobby opportunities to just do things and hang out. I mean,
and take the weekend. And your mates still as well.
Yeah. Well, take the weekend coming.
Yep.
You know, we're all going to the self-described geek manor for a weekend's worth of gaming. And possibly drinking, though I'm going to drive, so I'll just be consuming diet beverages. Not that they do me any good, but I should consume them anyway. See, yeah. I think it's a misnomer. Surely a diet beverage should make you lose weight automatically just by drinking it.
As soon as you've drunk it, in fact.
Yes, it should. It should be instead of it being zero calories, it should be negative calories, and it should consume energy. It should force you to use energy to absorb it,
and it should make you drink more, so that you lose more.
Yes,
but you're talking about
like cocaine.
You're talking about communication and technology and everything, but things like paint technology, things like airbrushes, things like the actual sculpts themselves. Everything's progressed on as well, so. I've got some old figures that look like old figures, and I've also got some old figures that still stand up. But I think the stuff that we're getting and the stuff that's out there is just better. And you have the ability with YouTube and mates and networking, essentially, of finding out how to do stuff as well. Whereas before it was a bit of a dark art to try and find stuff about it.
Yeah. Well, also, you've just brought something up. Another thing that's improved massively is the immediacy.
Yes.
If you want something, you know, or you see something that you think, oh, that's good, I want to get that, you can have it delivered to your house the next day or the day after at the latest. It's not, you know, going through All Games Illustrated, finding the small ad at the back, going, oh, I'd like some of them, please. Sending off your postal order and waiting a month or so for a parcel to get delivered.
This was mentioned by Spoons, wasn't it? Or a check.
Oh, was it?
It was a check. Or a check. And quite often, and I did smile when he said it, you were buying blinds or you were buying from a pencil, an ink drawing, but very rarely from a photograph of what you're actually... actually buying, you know, you were going on a description potentially, Amazon with axe, female Amazon with axe sort of thing, you know. Or,
yep.
So, yeah.
And there are certain companies out there that still do that.
Yes.
Even in, they have websites, but their websites are descriptions like that.
And they're still trading.
Yeah, I know. They must get a lot of business through shows.
Probably, yeah.
But coupled with that, see, and now I'm on a roll. Coupled with that is the ability to get product from different countries.
Yeah.
You know, if I go back, even not that far to when we started playing historicals with WAB, There were a lot of people talking about getting Old Glory figures.
And they were from the States, weren't they?
They were from the States. Where could you get Old Glory figures? You went to a show and you got them. So I got mine at Warfare in Reading.
Yep. Which has just been, hasn't it?
It has just been, yeah. Now you just jump online and there's either a UK distributor
on Twitter where
or you can order direct from the States
or via
and they'll
email
be here in 7 days daily at outlook.com.
Hopefully without a customs charge.
Customs charges. It's not so much the customs charge, it's the fact that the post office charge you like 20 quid to collect it.
And they don't take... The last customs charge I paid, I actually went to the post office and got the stamps on the card.
And sent them out the little cards?
Well, no, I went to the sorting office with the card and then the stamps on it, rather than take the cash out there.
Oh, I've not done that. That's why I like it when people send things FedEx, because FedEx won't hold anything up. You'll get a bill afterwards for whatever the charges were, but you don't get...
that pain of going, oh, I nearly have it.
Yes, yes, it's not a... We tried to... We were going to deliver your parcel, but you owe us money!
And you can't have it, because you've been a naughty boy!
What else? Terrain. Laser cut terrain. Resin terrain.
Terrain in general.
Yeah. I mean, things just... You go to an event or something, things just look so much prettier.
It's all relative, isn't it? But yeah, you're absolutely right.
I think... You were talking about you could look up techniques and things online. I think the general standard of people's painting... If that, you know, if that's their bent, has improved massively.
Yep.
You know, with modern techniques like dips and stuff, anyone can produce a good looking paint job. These days, and it's still, I think that's the biggest barrier of entry into, you know, this hobby.
Is the painting of miniatures.
Is the painting of miniatures.
So if there was a decent pre-painted solution for stuff.
Yes.
Which you could still add to, you know, I mean, like the Star Trek figures, for instance, that I've repainted, repainted. That would be... And the problem with pre-paints is the price point, generally.
Yes. Yeah, that's the issue. I mean, it's the same with terrain. It's why you see there are companies now who are starting to... offer pre-painted MDF terrain.
Again, a good idea, because you buy the terrain and specifically with the MDF stuff, or even, you know, resin and plaster sort of stuff, you buy it up. And occasionally you'll use it, but then it might get sort of stuffed away in the terrain box because it doesn't look good.
Yeah, and now, I mean, most laser-cut MDF terrain looks okay, but you only have to look at... the Malifaux GT that we ran the other week.
Yep.
The tables where the MDF terrain was painted looked so much better. But the problem is it comes at a price point. You know, you've got some companies that make some beautiful stuff in pre-painted MDF, but it is expensive. And is it worth it to you as a hobbyist if you're playing in your... dining room table, and I'm still convinced that the vast majority of gaming happens with people that you and I have never met
of. Yeah, in someone's house or wherever.
You know, it's just, do you care enough if you're just playing with your couple of your mates about having it beautiful? Or do you just want to get some games in?
I've got to admit, the best games are where the table is telling the story and is beautiful, and you've got a painted force or army on the table as well to add to that. Some of the best games I've ever had have actually been Flames of War games, or more recently, War and Conquest games as well, where specifically with the World War II stuff, the table just is... you're there, you know, you're in the battlefield looking at stuff. Quite often you're down at Model I level to look at stuff as well.
Yeah.
The War and Conquest games, the mass battle, troops either side in an open battlefield with a little bit of terrain, looks absolutely superb as well. And it just draws you into the game straight away. And that whole feeling of why you were there, why you got into this, it's icing on the cake. So we should make the effort, basically, but we never do because we're back down to time. And where do you invest your time then? And it's invariably building new stuff so that you can play with it, or painting stuff that you're getting ready for probably an event or something that you want to do or play.
Yeah, I think you're right. So from our inauspicious start of it's brilliant or it's better, we've managed to talk for half an hour.
There's unusual.
I know. It's because we got distracted by Kim Newman.
Well, you did.
I did. Oh, they're so good. So I suppose we ought to go.
Is Kim Newman a man or a woman?
Kim Newman's a man. He's a film critic and editor of Phantasmagoria and periodic contributor to SFX and...
You've just read
Empire
that.
And things.
Oh, I recognise him.
Yeah, if you see a picture of him, you'll know him because he's eccentric and wears very brightly patterned waistcoats quite a lot.
He could be a modern day cat weasel.
He could be a modern day cat weasel. Nice. Shall we go?
And the circle is complete. Yes, right. Let's go.
Okay, well, until next time, I've been Mike.
And I've been Billy Bob.
Bye, Billy Bob.
Bye.